Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Let's get straight to the docket. First, well, there's a hearing on April 19th for Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. It's going to be the first time we're going to see Lori Vallow. What's on tap? Second, the New York subway suspect, the South Dakota Attorney General. He got impeached. Sherry Papini, she has a plea agreement already, and then our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, aficionados. This is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. Yes, I am in casual attire because it is a travel day as soon as I get done with this video. All right. If you haven't done so already, you know the drill. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, leave me a comment. Make sure you get that little bell as well so you get notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Hope you enjoyed last night's live. We had a lot of people join us for that live. And then we had a great Patreon. And Robbie called up and reminded me because I was, you know, a little down because I said, you know, I got it wrong that they restored Lori Vallow. And that was based upon the fact that just the mere amount of time it took to restore, I didn't think we were going to see her. But Robbie reminded me of this.
They are going to send her off, be evaluated by a bunch of medical doctors, come up with a treatment plan to restore her to competency so that they can then come back and try her for all of her cases. Lori Vallow will go off to a state facility where she will not be free, but she will be in custody, and they will try to restore her to competency. How do they do that? Usually drugs, lots and lots of drugs to get people back to being normal again.
Yep, that's it. Me stating, don't worry, they're gonna get her all doped up on drugs, and they are going to make her competent again. It just took a little longer, and I guess I maybe doubted myself. But anyway, I guess I wasn't totally wrong. For all the people out there that enjoyed me being wrong, well, I was half wrong. All right. Anyway, let's get to the docket. Let's open the record for Wednesday, April 13th, 2023. First on the docket, there's a hearing for April 19th as it relates to Lori Vallow. We know she's been restored to competency, and she is going to be in court. She is going to be there live in person. How do we know that? Well, we called the clerk to confirm it. Anyway, what is going to be taking place? Well, there's supposed to be an arraignment as it relates to Lori Vallow, and the judge will say, all right, not guilty, plea accepted, move forward. Oh, you have a trial date next January. Everybody, let's go. Hopefully, the court will also put in several hard motion dates and deadlines so that this case doesn't get delayed any further. There's also a hearing as it relates to the motion to reconsider by the prosecution as it relates to the whole expense of holding the trial up in Ada County, Idaho versus just selecting a jury in Ada County, Idaho, and then shipping the jury back down to Madison County for the trial. And both sides have stipulated they are going to call at least two witnesses, the clerk of the court there, Abby Mace, and Ada County Lieutenant Travis Ruby, more than likely to talk about how inconvenient this is going to be and how expensive it's going to be. It's a death penalty case. You can't go cheap when you're trying to achieve justice in a case like this. So I know it's hard. It's expensive. Nobody likes spending the money. But guess what? If they, being the government, goes cheap in some way, guarantee you, if there's a conviction, appellate counsel will hammer away saying you're violating their due process rights and their right to a fair trial. Just go do it in Ada County. It's been done. Judge Boyce, I hope you don't waffle on this one. Let's get it done. And next on the docket, the New York subway suspect. This person of interest, a guy by the name of Frank Robert James. He's 62. And he allegedly opened fire on the N train car during rush hour yesterday morning, according to the NYPD. Now, James is considered armed with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun. He also set off two smoke grenades on the second car of the Manhattan-bound N train while it was headed from the 59th Street station to the 36th Street station in the Sunset Park neighborhood of Brooklyn. He allegedly shot 10 people and then fled. 13 people received injuries from smoke inhalation, falling down, and basically other injuries as related to the panic that ensued after his attack. Now, police found objects including the handgun, 3 extended magazines, 2 detonated smoke grenades, 2 non-detonated smoke grenades, a hatchet, and a bag containing consumer-grade fireworks and U-Haul keys. Now, police were able to track down the U-Haul van in Brooklyn that they thought connected to the suspects. Now, James is the only suspect, according to the police, and they say that he rented the U-Haul in Philadelphia. James apparently has an address in Philadelphia as well as Wisconsin. He also has a YouTube channel where he posts rambling monologues about race, crime, and the government. In one video, he uttered some anti-Semitic remarks, and another, he complained about the New York City mayor, Eric Adams. We'll see how this shakes out. I don't know what to expect. All right, before we get to the next item on the docket, let's hear from our sponsor today. Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie. So we created a high-quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked. And we're back. All right. The South Dakota Attorney General. I'm not a fan. Haven't been really a fan at all. I think he got a sweetheart deal. And if you're you or me, he would have been arrested that night for vehicular assault or homicide, as the case may be here. But Jason Ravsburg was impeached yesterday for the 2020 car crash where he killed and hit a man and then told police he thought he had hit a deer. Now, Ravsburg, who took office in 2019, was returning home from a Republican dinner in September of 2020 when he struck and killed a gentleman by the name of Mr. Bover, who was walking along the rural highway. A sheriff who responded after Ravsburg called 911, of course, he let him know he's the AG, reported it as a collision with an animal. Ravsburg said he didn't realize he hit the man until he returned the next day and found the body and the man's glasses in the car because he went through the windshield. Needless to say, the highway patrol concluded that Ravsburg's car crossed completely into the highway shoulder before hitting Mr. Bover. And a criminal investigator said later that they didn't believe some of Ravsburg's statements. But of course, they gave him a smoking good deal. Ravsburg is the first official to be impeached in South Dakota history. He will be temporarily removed from office until his Senate trial. Now, 2/3 of the state upper chamber must vote to convict him to be removed from office. Let's hope they do the right thing. Seriously, this guy, I mean, he's the top law enforcement officer. He has a duty to do it better and cleaner than everybody else because he's holding everyone else to that same standard. And he fell below that standard, one that should be a higher standard when you're in public office, try to do it better and cleaner than the next guy, right? Since you are the one that is enforcing the law. And if you can't do it, how do you expect anybody else to do it? Let's hope they do the right thing. Sherry Papini. That's right. You remember her? The mom accused of orchestrating her own kidnapping back in 2016. Well, she has a plea agreement in place. And as you may recall, she was arrested on March 3rd after prosecutors said she lied when she told investigators that she was kidnapped at gunpoint by 2 Hispanic women and even provided a false description to the FBI for an artist's sketch. Now, investigators worked tirelessly, both during the 22 days when Papini was thought to have been missing and after she appeared on Thanksgiving, and finally come to the conclusion that the whole kidnapping was a hoax. Now, authorities say that Papini made up the whole thing and instead was staying in an apartment in Costa Mesa, California with her ex-boyfriend, James Reyes. Now, Papini, who faces up to 25 years in prison if convicted, is accused of making false statements to law enforcement officials, mail fraud, signing the agreement that stated that she will plead guilty to one count of mail fraud and one count of making false statements. Well, let's take a look at what she's really going to get. Here's the plea agreement. And this plea agreement, this just shows you how crazy it now becomes, because you have to put everything in the plea agreement to try and anticipate anything that takes place. The plea agreement is 12 pages long. They go through the scheme to defraud, the manner and means of the fraud. And what is the fraud, you say? Well, it's all the money that she received as the victim of the kidnapping. So let's take a look what she's going to have to use. She used the mail. Okay, she used the mail, and they say that she used the purpose for executing the aforementioned scheme and artifice to defraud, and attempting to do so, Sherry Papini did knowingly cause to be deposited and did knowingly cause to be delivered matter of things to be sent and delivered to the United States mail according to the direction thereon and more specifically set forth below. What is it? It's all the money that she received as it related for money for her PTSD. Now you may say, what does she have to repay as far as her restitution goes? Well, she's going to pay the California Victims Compensation Board $30,000. She's going to pay the United States Social Security Administration $127,567. She's also going to agree to reimburse the Shasta County Sheriff's Office for $148,866.23, as well as pay the Federal Bureau of Investigation $2,558.35. That's a lot of money. We're talking $151,000 plus the restitution of $158,000. You do the math, a lot of money. You would think, wow, she's really going to prison for a long time because, well, she faces up to 20 years in prison, correct? Well, no. According to the government's plea agreement, they're going to agree to the lower end of the guideline range. And basically, given her base offense level under the federal sentencing guidelines, which are advisory in nature, she starts out as a level 7. She then jumps to a loss of amount of over $15,000, which is a 4-point enhancement, 2-point enhancement for obstruction of justice. She does receive a reduction because of her acceptance of responsibility. But what does that ultimately come out to be? She comes out for a sentencing range in the area of 8 to 14 months. Now understand, that's advisory. The ultimate sentence is up to the judge, but the United States attorney is representing that they were going to recommend the bottom end of the guideline, which is 8 months plus the money. They really want the money, but they got to give her a little bit of jail to make her understand you can't go around doing this. So let me know if you think it's fair. She's going to enter her plea, and then the matter will be set out for sentencing. Let me know if you think it was fair or if it's a sweetheart deal. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal of the day. Now, during a softball game for 12-year-old kids, the coach asked one of the mothers to leave the game for excessive cursing. I know, you would think, right? But no. Instead of going home, the woman is accused of waiting to confront the umpire, Christy Moore, after the game and then punching her in the face. Now, the mother, a woman by the name of Kiera Thomas, was arrested and charged with simple assault. And the shirt that she was wearing in her mugshot, you guessed it, says Mother of the Year. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Okay, that's the best. Anyway, you can't make this stuff up, man. I'm telling you, it used to be all the parents were allowed to show up. Now parents can't behave themselves. They become embarrassment to their children. I went to a soccer game for the niece of the lovely Miss Kristen, and all the parents sit on the opposite side of the field so that they don't interfere with the kids, telling them how to do everything, as well as the coach. It's completely out of control. But then again, when my son did baseball when he was like 12, there were coaches with restraining orders against each other. The world is losing their mind, ladies and gentlemen. All right, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk. Have a wonderful day.